proud defender of the American dream, Rick Smith.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Still kind of stuck on the Trump defense of, you know, kind of, you know, channeling Richard Nixon and the if the president does it, then it is not illegal frame. And again, I go back to McMaster's thrown under the bus. I can't believe anybody wants to be in this administration at this point. I think people should be running for the hills. Anyway, here to talk about the developments of the last couple of days, treason, Russiagate, the whole nine yards, I've got Andrea Chalupa. She's a journalist and author of Orwell and the Refugees, the untold story of Animal Farm. Andrea, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you so much, Rick.
So crazy, crazy, fun, entertaining, outrageous, ridiculous, destructive. Any other words I'm missing?
Roller coaster. Can't stay in passport. I don't know. There's a lot of words that come to mind right now.
And I got to be honest, you know, as I've been saying, you know, I predicted a lot of bad to come out of this administration. Not this bad. I mean, honestly, I really never thought it was going to be this bad.
You're absolutely right. It actually surpasses the satires of what a Trump administration would have been like, you know, during 2016, when they're making fun of a Trump presidency. Like, this surpasses even what SNL could have imagined.
So you had during the campaign, and I can't emphasize this enough, you had the Trump people, you had him, you had Reince, you had Paul Ryan, you had the whole troop out there yelling about Hillary and the emails and she should be locked up and all of this stuff because she mishandled classified information through email or something, yet he's leaking it directly to Russian spies, and that's okay. I'm struggling with that.
Right. It's no wonder that like the Russians look so happy inside the Oval Office. this obviously makes their job a lot easier. Yes. So Trump is a prize for the Kremlin on so many levels. It's not only the fact that he's such an easy mark, and any information they need, they know that they can rely on him, Bannon, that inner circle, that pro-Kremlin inner circle inside the Oval Office, to sort of, you know, if not get it directly, the names of sources, you know, what the allies are really saying to the U.S., et cetera, they could at least, you know, sort of pry it out, you know, sort of get hints of it. So it's not just a concern about the silver platter leaks that Trump is handing over to a hostile regime. It's the fact that, like, they can get anything they want out of this guy now, essentially.
And he thinks he's outsmarted them. That's the beautiful part of it. I mean, I truly believe he thinks he's outsmarting them.
Yeah, I think also he's just been clearly under so much stress, and there's persistent rumors of dementia that he's under. I mean, he is quite old, and who knows what he might be. He's quite an old president, so who knows what he might be under. You have been hearing this persistent dementia rumor. So I think I honestly think from like a human nature standpoint, he also was so relieved to be around friendly company. And he let himself relax and just sort of start spewing things to impress them and finally be around people who accepted him.
So that's all it's going to take. Just be nice to him. Give him ice cream.
Right.
Like my great-grandfather. Just give him ice cream. That'll make him happy.
Exactly right.
Give you anything you want. Wow. That's running our country.
Right. A child.
Oh, geez. Because here's the weird thing. And we live in this era where we have alternative facts, where you've got an administration who, you know, as my grandfather would say, would lie when the truth would be better. We're in this weird world of where truth doesn't matter, which is why, you know, I see that you are part of organizing this March for Truth. Tell me about it.
Right. Yeah. So March for Truth, the original idea came from Justin Hendricks. He's been calling for this on Twitter for months. We should have listened to him sooner. The whole movement sort of finally took off when Tim Mak wrote this great piece in the Daily Beast revealing that the Senate investigation into Russiagate was understaffed and also didn't have staff that had the right expertise to handle such a wide-reaching investigation. So that was really infuriating because, you know, as we're all so used to the House side being kind of like a high school cafeteria, we as Americans put our hope in the adults on the Senate side. And then to find out that the Senate investigation was lacking, it was just too much. So a group of us got together, Jordan Uhl, who is a prolific viral Twitterer, who's also launching up a great new site called The Opposition. He and I joined forces with Justin Hendricks and just said on Twitter, hey, everyone, enough is enough already. Come join us on June 3rd, wherever you are, to march to show Republicans that they need to stop enabling this man who's totally unfit for office, who is putting our domestic and foreign security at risk blatantly. It's time to stand up to the GOP,
yep,
who is allowing this to happen. And the most amazing thing then occurred. We started getting calls and emails from across the country. And right now we have over 70 marches nationwide organized for June 3rd for March for Truth, from Anchorage, Alaska to Orlando, Florida, and many dozens and dozens of cities in between. And the more exciting news is that we've signed on some really strong superstar partners, the Indivisible Movement, MoveOn.org, Rock the Vote, the Town Hall Project, and others. And so this is really a time for us to really get into the streets and take back our country, because Republicans, for whatever reason, are unwilling to do it. And they're the party that's in power right now, who has the power to stand up to Trump.
Yeah, I've been saying for a while.
Anyone in government.
I've been saying for a while, it's going to have to be the Republicans who save this country. They're going to have to take their party back somewhere near the sanity line, because, as you pointed out, they're in power. But here's the thing. I think for so long they've been in the world of alternative facts and our team, sport mentality, that I got to be honest, it seems like a heavy lift.
Right. You also have to wonder, why are Republicans just issuing statements of concern when we're way past concern? Like, we need to start talking about impeachment as soon as possible. Like, we can't, if we're at this point in just the first 100 days, where will we be in the next 100 days, 2 years from now? Literally, lives are at risk, not only here in the U.S., but around the world. And given our, you know, our influence and all the funding we have for much-needed programs and NGOs, et cetera, and the wars that we can get pulled into, and the fact that he has a nuclear code that can go on. But so it's like, when is it going to be enough for the GOP to finally stand up and, like, save countless lives by removing this unfit man from office? So I think the question that all journalists should be digging into right now is, why is the GOP acting so impotent?
And that's it's a question that I've been asking for a while, because is it that the Russians hacked their stuff and there's a bunch of information there? I mean, there's so many scenarios. Or is it just, look, it's we won, it's our turn, and we're going to push through all of our agenda? Because, look, while we're talking about the distractions, while we're talking about Trump and treason and Comey and you name it, all of this horrible legislation is going through, all of this horrible, these executive orders, all of this stuff is really ramping up without anyone really paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point. I mean, the GOP with its inhumane agenda, with Paul Ryan being excited about keeping people off their health care, they're acting like kids in a candy shop, like pigs at the trough. It's like they finally have their chance, and they're just, like, being very greedy and just grabbing what they can. It's like they're pillaging the country. So I think it's quite frightening, and greed, as we know, is something that's very difficult to curb. It's like an addiction. So I think it could be a combination of both. It's simply that they're really excited. They're acting in their own interests. They're finally paying back their donors with all these horrible promises that the Americans, us, that we have to endure or suffer under, with, having, like, rape being a pre-existing condition, for instance, in this Trump care plan, et cetera. So I think that's definitely a possibility. But on top of that, we do have to consider the way, thanks to Citizens United, there's loopholes that allow dark money to be funneled to any political campaign. And I think that's very dangerous. It's very difficult for reporters to sort of track that. You really need to have money laundering experience, election systems experience, campaign law experience, et cetera, to really sort of pin that down and trace it back to any of these Republicans in office who are slowing down and in some cases obstructing the Russiagate investigation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm of the mindset you start by impeaching Trump and you work your way all the way through the through our government and anyone who's beholden to Russia, anyone who's on the Russian dole, they should go too.
Absolutely. And the thing we all have to keep in mind is take stock of everything that we know that's been revealed with the Washington Post, the New York Times, and others. Take stock of what we know. Now imagine what we don't know.
Exactly. And that's the scary part. I mean, because this has been a fairly secretive administration. Again, they don't want to do press conferences. And I'm guessing press conferences at some point will be a thing of the past. But, you know, I go back to something I talked about earlier. You had the spokesperson for the Russian foreign minister saying, you know, you can't believe anything that American newspapers print. You can use them. Don't read American newspapers. Use them for other things because they're dangerous. And I go, yeah, the truth is dangerous. When you're putting out what's actually happening and it's not good, that can be dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, the Kellyanne Conway of the Kremlin, you know, she really makes Kellyanne Conway, in fact, look like an amateur. But so, of course, a free press is dangerous to the Kremlin. That's why Putin has gone above and beyond to pass laws to really restrict press freedoms inside Russia. And you know, it's really scary when you have Donald Trump calling the press in America an enemy of the state. And you sort of wonder, like, how soon before there's certain crackdowns here happening. I mean, given where we are at day 100, it's not far-fetched to start sort of considering those other scenarios. I mean, I predicted that Comey was going to be fired. The morning when that piece in ProPublica ran about Comey misquoting the numbers of emails or something he got wrong with Hillary's email investigation, I put on Twitter that morning saying, this looks weird for Comey, a man who, you know, is known for a lot of things, but especially transparency. That's very odd for him to get this number wrong. I mean, this looks like a setup for Comey to be fired. And then a few hours later, he was. So I had been telling people in conversation that, you know, think about the worst case scenario. They're going to fire Comey. And people would look at me as like, that's crazy. That would never happen. That would be the end of the world. And now we're already at that point where Comey is gone.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, I don't think people understand just how historic that is. It's never happened in the history of this country where someone wasn't fired without cause. And now Bill Clinton fired the FBI director, but that was for cause. He was misappropriating resources. That's actually a fireable offense. This was, well, you asked for more money to investigate me, you're fired. And the thing that bothers me is he didn't even do it in the theatrical way that I thought, you know, the pitch man on TV would have done. He did it kind of in a backdoor way that I guess Comey found out from television somewhere.
Right. He was in Los Angeles talking to an FBI staff, and the television behind him was showing that he had been fired. And people, you know, pointed it out to him, and he thought it was at first a joke, and then he turns around and sees the TVs reporting it. And then he had to excuse himself from the meeting and take a call to figure out what was going on. And I think, you know, for anyone to learn that way, especially when you're one of the key people who holds the fate of the nation in your hands, I think that must have been quite an experience.
Yeah, I mean, that's no way to run a government. But, you know, I got to be honest, the Kremlin has got to be laughing like crazy at just how chaotic we are.
Oh, I mean, the dollar, the U.S. dollar is taking a hit. You have China coming in. You know, we've always sort of anticipated a Chinese century coming, but now, you know, with an unstable and unreliable and risky and possibly destructive U.S., this really ushers in the Chinese century. And so this is what the Kremlin wanted. They wanted to get rid of a United States government that funded pesky NGOs and funded independent media grants and organizations in Russia and Ukraine and neighboring countries. They wanted to get rid of that that sort of, you know, how we stood for democracies and values. And now you have Rex Tillerson, who received a Medal of Friendship from Putin himself, now saying that U.S. foreign policy is divorced from values. And Jeez. That's music to Putin's ears.
Oh, my goodness. So, just crazy.
Yes.
Just absolutely crazy. And you look at the report that came out today, Israeli intelligence officials have said that, the U.S. intelligence people are telling them, don't share anything with us. Don't tell Trump anything because it's just going to get back to the Russians. And everyone knows if it gets to the Russians, it gets to the Iranians. So you're putting massive wedges between our allies. It's nothing good here.
No, absolutely. And the thing is that we have wonderful allies in the UK, France, Australia, et cetera, and Germany, et cetera. And, their intel communities are linked together in a union that helps support each other. And that includes the U.S. I don't know if it's going to include the U.S. much longer. I think our allies certainly feel vulnerable to being infiltrated by spies in the U.S. community who may have been flipped or, placed there to infiltrate. So I think it's a very dangerous time. I think it's essentially a spy war between the U.S. and our allies. And I think any intelligence community abroad that would try to help us would do what they could to help us by sharing, urgent intel, leaking urgent intel, but also start doing it cautiously because no one knows who's really in charge of the United States government when you have an unfit president and a dominant Republican Party unwilling to stand up to him. So I think, again, as much as intel communities want to help us, I think they must be doing it now at this point a bit cautiously.
I know I certainly would be. So last question I got for you. What do people do outside of going to marchfortruth.info, and we'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com. Just click on Andrea Chalupa's name, take you right there. Outside of, signing up for that, getting to the march, what should we be doing, to kind of push forward this idea of we got to get these people out of here?
Okay, the number one thing is when you have this sort of creeping tremors of authoritarianism, don't be defeated. Don't be tired. You have to find some sort of spiritual center in your life. That's first and foremost, because what they want is for you to become cynical and to check out and just live your life and not be involved in the political system. When you do that, they win. So find whatever it is in your life. It could be anything that gives you the energy to keep going. Find that person who you fight for and just show up. Show up to protest. Being counted there on the ground in a demonstration matters. Bodies matter. You have to show up and be counted for, especially with everything at stake. Pay attention. Curate your list of brave, fearless activists and journalists on Twitter so you can put your finger on the pulse of what's going on, what might be coming up next. The other thing is pay attention to campaigns that are want to boycott Fox News, which has been planting the seeds for this whole right-wing takeover for many years, as we know. So I know that there's a lot of growing interest now to, there's a group that I'm talking to now about looking into boycotting Fox. So that's something that you most definitely pay attention to and join. And show up to vote and run for office. Just don't check out because that's what they want you to do.
Yeah. This kind of reminding me of the Bush years. If you check out, the terrorists will win.
The terrorists being George W. Bush, of course.
No, I mean being Donald Trump right now. And Bannon and the whole cabal of crazy. Just scary, scary times. Andrea, I appreciate you taking some time for us. I'd love to have you back as the insanity ensues.
Right. Well, I'll see you next week or so, which will feel like another year.
Great. I look forward to it. Andrea Chalupa. You want to check out her website, AndreaChalupa.com. We've got a link at TheRickSmithShow.com, but also marchfortruth.info. That's where you want to go. You want to check out the June 3rd march. And if there's not one in your area, hey, maybe contact them and start one of your own. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
For a change, The Rick Smith Show.